Welcome to Wannabe Clutter-Free, formerly Wannabe Minimalist, the podcast for busy families who are tired of the chaos, fed up with being overwhelmed, and ready to enjoy life again. Each week, we talk about how to let go of the clutter so that you can focus on the things that actually matter. And it's not just physical clutter. We talk about the mental and emotional stuff too, because if it's holding you back, it's time to ditch it. I share what I've done in my own life to declutter, organize, and calm the chaos, but you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's practical, doable, and simple for those of us that want to be clutter-free. This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. But this isn't just any skincare product. It's a revolution in how we treat our skin, using the power of nature to heal. That's because Active Skin Repair is all about a little molecule called hypochlorous acid. This isn't your average ingredient. It actually mimics our body's natural immune response, working wonders to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing process. The best part is there is no sting when you apply it. We've used it in our home on everything from kitchen burns to those pesky cuts and scrapes my kiddo seems to get almost every other day. And let me tell you, the peace of mind knowing that I'm applying something non-toxic and natural yet medically graded is unbeatable. Whether it's a sunburn, rash, mosquito bite, or even more chronic skin issues like eczema or acne, Active Skin Repair has got you covered. And everyone in your family can use it because it's safe for all skin types and all ages. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews, the results speak for themselves. And because you're part of our podcast family, we've got an exclusive offer for you. Visit activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and use the code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order. Again, that's activeskinrepair.com and use code CLUTTERFREE to get 20% off your order. Trust me, your skin and your kids will thank you. Well, hey, my friend, welcome back to the show. My name is Deanna Yates, and you are listening to episode 198 of the Wannabe Clutter-Free podcast. On today's episode, I am talking about a topic that touches all of our lives, especially those of us juggling the demands of parenting and work life, whether it's inside or outside of the home. It's decision fatigue and clutter. We'll explore what decision fatigue really is, how it affects us, and share some practical tips to help you overcome it. But before we dive in, I want to thank you so much for being here today and listening to this show. You all had already gotten this show up to a top 1% podcast globally, and this last week I ranked as a top 50 podcast in the leisure category, and that still blows my mind. So thank you so, so very much. And just so you know, it's not really about the numbers. It is about helping as many others as I can realize that you do not need all the stuff to be happy. We can slow down a bit. We can let go a bit. And we can take time to enjoy the little and not so little things. Those numbers just help me understand that I'm on the right track. And so if you are listening to this show and you're enjoying it, there are a few ways that you can support me and the show. One, you can share Wannabe Clutter-Free with a friend. It also helps you get an accountability partner along the way, which can be really, really helpful on your journey. Two, you can post your favorite episode on social media. Please don't forget to tag me so that I can share it too. You can reach out to me via email or you can DM me on Instagram. My email is deanna@wannabeclutterfree.com and I am at wannabeclutterfree on all of the social channels. And you can also become an insider and get all of the episodes ad-free for just $5 per month at wannabeclutterfree.com/supporter. But no matter what, just know that I am thankful for you and I am thankful that you are here today because I can't wait to help you with ditching decision fatigue. So let's get started. So let's start with understanding what decision fatigue actually is. Decision fatigue, you know, that might just sound like another buzzword, but it's a real phenomenon and it can significantly impact our daily lives. To me, decision fatigue starts to feel a lot like stress. It starts to feel just as the day progresses, you get more and more irritated, more and more agitated, and things can just start to really feel like they're piling up and they're hemming you in. So it refers to that decline, the decline in the quality of the decisions that we make as an individual after a long session of decision making. And we make decisions all day long. Whether we realize it or not, even those teeny tiny little decisions start to add up once we've started to make more and more and more of them. So imagine starting your day deciding what breakfast to make, what task to prioritize at work, how to coordinate the kids' schedules, and so on. And it's not just breakfast for you. You often are deciding what breakfast to make for your kids, what outfits to pick out for them, right? As they're younger, and then as they get older, they can start to take on those responsibilities themselves, but sometimes they don't take on all of their responsibilities, and you still have to help them, remind them, keep on top of everybody, right? So it's just a lot to keep track of. And then by the end of the day, your ability to make good decisions, again, not just decisions, good decisions, can seriously wane. It really does start to, you just are like, whatever, anything, right? It leads to quick, often less than ideal choices or even procrastination. You start to put off the things that you know you should do. Maybe that's picking out an outfit for tomorrow. Maybe it's getting lunch prepped for the next day. Maybe it's just cleaning up the dishes from dinner, right? Everything starts to feel overwhelming because you've already used up all of your willpower, brain power, whatever you want to call it. It is decision fatigue. So it can lead to procrastination. And so why does this matter to us moms? Well, poof, I don't know about you. Again, let's say that again, but every day we're making countless decisions for ourselves, big and small. But we are also making those decisions for the little people in our lives, sometimes our spouses and partners as well. So it can get to be a lot because it's not sometimes just us, it's the household. And then that, if you are working inside or outside of the home, that then can also translate to your professional environment. When I worked in a more corporate setting, there were decisions I made not just for myself, but for the company, for the people that worked under me, right? And then being in meetings and all of that kind of stuff. So there's so many decisions that are going on in a day. And so we're going to talk about a few things that that can help, but I just want us to understand, like, this is what decision fatigue is, right? So we're not just managing one area or one thing at a time. It's multitasking. It's all of this stuff, constant decision making that is draining our mental energy, making it harder to stay on top of our game, both in home and at work. And so there are studies like one from the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. I will definitely link to that in the show notes that have shown that decision fatigue can lead to simpler decision making strategies and impulsivity. Okay. So at first that sounded great. You're like, oh, simpler decision-making. That sounds great. Not great. It means that you're choosing the easiest path. You're choosing the path of least resistance. It means we're more likely to do the things we don't really in our best selves want to do. This might be snapping at our kids. It might be choosing fast food over a healthy meal. It might be putting off important tasks like I talked about with like just doing the dishes, right? Just because we're mentally exhausted. So decision fatigue can be a real problem. So now let's get into the connection between clutter and decision fatigue. But before we dive into that, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors this week. Hey, busy moms out there. I see you giving 110% every day, juggling schedules, meals, and that never-ending to-do list. I was right there with you, wondering if there was anything that could ease the mental load a bit. Then I found the Skylight Calendar. And let me tell you, it's been a game changer in our home. The Skylight Calendar isn't just any calendar. It's a smart touchscreen calendar and organizer that becomes the command center. It lets you manage chores, groceries, appointments, and all of those to-do lists in one place to make sure they never overlap and they are never missed. Imagine having everything synced up. Google, Apple, Outlook calendars, all updating in real time on this sleek display in your kitchen or living room so your busy household stays on track and everyone's on the same page. Everything, yes, everything is color-coded, so at a glance, you know who needs to be where and when. But it's not just about schedules. The chore chart feature is a hit in our house. My daughter loves checking off the tasks and seeing her progress, and I've added my doable dozen to it so I can check things off too. For all you busy moms looking for a little peace of mind this Mother's Day, the Skylight Calendar is the perfect gift. And because you're part of our podcast family, as a special limited-time offer, you can get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Calendar when you go to skycal.com/wannabe. That's S-K-Y-L-I-G-H-T-C-A-L.com/wannabe. Mother's Day is coming right up, so order today to get 15% off your purchase at skylightcal.com/wannabe.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Welcome back. All right, so before the break, we talked about what decision fatigue is and why it's such a problem. And I don't think any of us really needed to get a reminder of that, but I think it's just interesting to see how broad it is and how much it can affect all of the different things we do in a day. So let's talk about the connection now between clutter and decision fatigue. It's not just all the decisions we have to make, right? There's another culprit that adds to our mental load, and that is the stuff around us, the clutter, the physical stuff, also the mental stuff, right? Decision fatigue is more of that mental clutter, but all of that physical clutter, you know, it's the piles of the toys, it's the overflowing laundry baskets, it's the stacks of mail, all the school paperwork that's coming in, the piles of stuff that you are procrastinating on because you have that mental load, the decision fatigue, you have all of this stuff, right? These piles of stuff. It's not just an eyesore. It's actually making decision fatigue worse. And it's adding to that guilt, adding to the frustration of your day, and just giving you more stuff to worry about, right? So you're not even ever allowing your brain to have a moment of peace, to have a moment of clarity, to relax, to refresh, to recharge, because we're going from mental clutter, decision fatigue, to exterior clutter with all of the physical stuff around us. And it's just too much. It's becoming really overwhelming. Now, research from Princeton University in the Neuroscience Institute reveals that physical clutter competes for our attention, worsening stress, reducing our mental resources for creative thinking, and just adding on that layer of ick, right? I don't know about you, but when I walk into my house and there is stuff everywhere, I just get this feeling of like, ugh. And it's just so hard to dive in and do the work. So please understand, I know where you're coming from. I know that if you listen to me and this show, you think like, oh my gosh, she's got it all figured out. That's got to be so easy, right? Of course it's easy for her to clean up her house in 5 minutes. It wasn't always that way. Please know that. It was not always that way. However, the more you do it, little by little, it does not have to be this giant change that you're making overnight. We're going to talk about how to combat decision fatigue and to declutter your life, to start getting rid of that clutter. We're going to talk about that in the next few minutes, but please know that I am on your side. I have been there. I know what it's like to have too much stuff to do and too many things coming at you and just feeling like the world is going to fall apart. I've been there. So you can get there. I'm with you. I want to be on this journey with you. So let's do it. Okay. So understand that when your environment is cluttered, the chaos restricts your ability to focus. It is like every item is shouting at you for attention. It's making it harder for you to make good decisions. If your house is a mess, if things around you are chaotic, you're in here, you're typing an email, you're getting back to someone, something out of the corner of your eye, you know, pulls your attention away. This is what clutter does. It pulls your attention away and it says, look at me, look at me. I mean, obviously it's not shouting at you, but that's what you're hearing in your mind. Oh gosh, I forgot to take those clothes to the dry cleaner. Oh gosh, I forgot to change laundry. Oh gosh, there's still dishes on the table from breakfast, right? So you can never actually finish the task when the physical clutter is around you. And so many of you have shared stories about how decluttering not only cleaned up your space, but also cleared up your mind, helping you feel less overwhelmed and more in control. So let's take a quick look at strategies to combat decision fatigue and the declutter in your life. And I'll tell you about a few things that have worked for me. So how can we do that, right? First, you have to start with tackling decision fatigue. We can simplify our decision-making, and that can be the game changer in our life. This is where routines, habits, and just the fact that you start in one spot make the biggest difference. So some things that have worked really well for us are meal planning, right? So figuring out what meals you want to make for the week, planning your grocery list around those meals. So you're going to, one, know what you're going to have every day, right? You're going to take, maybe it'll take you an hour. Let's say it takes you an hour to plan your meals for the week and to plan your grocery list. And then it's going to take you another hour to go to the grocery store. But every day that you don't have to sit there and think, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? I can't tell you how many times I have made our list, our meal plan, and then I'm like, what are we having for dinner tonight? And so I'll go look it up on our calendar and I go, oh, right, that's what we're having for dinner tonight. Tomorrow we're having this. It also helps you prep your meals ahead of time. So if I have chicken in the freezer and I know tomorrow night we're going to have, green curry with chicken, well, then I can take the chicken out of the freezer and I'm not panicking last minute going, oh my gosh, I forgot to do the chicken. I've got to do a quick de-thaw on it. No one ever likes the quick de-thaw. It doesn't work as well. So this way I know I can put the frozen chicken in my fridge overnight. It's going to thaw and it'll be ready when I'm ready to make dinner that night. So all these little things start to add up, but it's less mentally draining because I already did the work on, let's say we plan our meals on Sunday, right? So I've already done the work on Sunday. So now Monday through Saturday is going to run so much smoother for me. It is a decision we make once, and then we don't have to make that decision again until the next time rolls around when it is time to do that meal planning again. It makes a huge difference in our life. It also is going to help you cut down on money because you're going to save money at the grocery store when you plan out your meals ahead of time. You can say, okay, this week I'm going to buy meat in bulk and we're going to do meals that focus around chicken, or we're going to do meals that focus around beef or whatever meat you prefer. And once you do that, then you can start to stretch your dollars a little bit more too, which is always nice and helps with the stress, helps relieve a little bit of stress when we're able to save some money. You can also, I love a capsule meal plan. This is something I have done in the past, and I actually have an ebook about it. I'll see if I have it available for purchase right now. But if I do, it'll be in the show notes. And so one way I grocery shopped when we were in Germany was I would plan one flavor profile for the week. And so we were there for an extended period of time, several months, but I knew it wasn't a permanent place. So I would buy flavors for the week. So maybe we would do an Asian flavor for the week. We would do a Mexican flavor for the week. We'd do Italian for the week. So I was able to buy the flavors, right? So the soy sauce or the hoisin sauce, or maybe it'd be marinara. Maybe it would be a taco sauce, right? So depending on what the flavor profile was for the week, I would buy the ingredients specifically for that flavor profile, get through them all in the week, and then switch to something else. It was just enough time for us before we got really sick of those flavors, and it also helped cut down on how much we had in our fridge. Because again, if you've lived in Europe, you understand they have smaller fridges, smaller kitchens. There's not as much space to store things. And so it was really nice to be able to buy things and then use them up in the week and then move on to something else. So that was a way I was able to save money. I called it capsule meal planning, and we would do basically a different kind of food. We would have burgers one day, we'd have meatless one day, we'd do tacos one day, pizza one day, kind of a thing, like casseroles one day. And so I would plan around those different meal types with the different flavor profile. And it would be really a nice way to kind of mix things up, but keep it focused so I didn't have a ton of decisions to make about our meals for the week. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about how to combat decision fatigue and get decluttering in order.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky, wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly,
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking It. No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
All right, welcome back. Other ways that we can use our environment around us to help with decision fatigue is establishing routines for yourself and your kids. So I think we all have routines. We just don't sometimes write them down. We don't realize them. We don't put them into like more of a concrete box. So different routines. I have our Doable Dozen Guide. I'll have a link to that. That's free. You can download that. And it shows you the 12 things I do every week. Again, it's one less decision to make. I know the 12 tasks that are going to help keep our home in order. There's a blank page in there so you can create your own 12 tasks if that works for you. There's 5 things I do every morning. I make our bed. I make sure the kitchen is reset. I check our laundry to make sure I don't need to run any loads that day, or if I do, I go ahead and get it started. I check my calendar for the week. Just to know, again, this is going to help me know what meals I have for that day, what's going on tomorrow, if there's any big things coming up in school that week. It's just a great refresher. And then 5 is to do a 5-minute tidy up. Now, I don't do those in the morning. We generally do those in the evening, but it is just a great way to get everyone on board. And in 5 minutes, with 3 of us, we can do 15 minutes of cleanup. And it really does make a big difference. I know 5 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, but please, 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 if you've never tried it, start there, do 5 minutes, set the timer for 5 minutes, throw on a fun song, race your family to see who can clean up the most in 5 minutes. It can be fun, and 5 minutes will go by quickly, but you will get a lot done, I promise. So give that one a try if you haven't already. But those are the routines. Those are the 5 things I do every week. And then I have 7 things that are in there, and I try to do one a day. But look, life is gonna life. Things come up. School things come up. Work things come up. Life things come up. Sometimes I don't always feel like doing the things that I have on my calendar. Maybe I'm having a really bad day. Maybe my husband's having a really bad day. And we are just like, you know what? We need to go for a walk. Let's go out for lunch. Let's do something, right? That just kind of resets the day. Well, that might take the place of the chore or habit that I needed to do that day. So guess what? Those 7 are flexible, and I can move and mix and match them when I need to. And then I just know that if I haven't gotten any of them done by the weekend, I've got 7 things to catch up on, and we will do that and it'll be okay. But once those 7 are done, I can breathe a sigh of relief and I can go right back into my next week ready and refreshed and recharged. And it's all kind of back. Again, no decisions to make. They've already been made once. So that's the real key when you're overcoming decision fatigue. Kind of like there's a rule out there that's like touch things once, right? One touch, the one touch rule. So like a paper that comes in your house, you touch it once and you say, okay, I'm going to do this, that, or whatever with it. So maybe it's a bill I need to pay. Maybe it's something to put on your calendar. Maybe it's something to recycle. Maybe it's something to file. You do it right then. I'm not going to lie. I don't do that. I'm not a one-touch paper person. I am a batch person. So I will take my papers and I will put it in a file. Now, I do recycle the stuff right away so I don't have to make a second decision on that stuff, like obviously just the junk mails and the
flyers and things like that come in through the mail, I just go ahead and recycle those right away. But anything that's going to take an action or take a step, I just file it away in my action pile until my Fridays when I actually batch and do all of my paperwork on that day. So I have a two-step one, and then I do it on a batch day. But it works for me because that decision has already been made. I don't have to go back and do it again, right? So that's where that comes in. But that's what this make a decision one time comes in. So I'm going to decide on Sunday what I'm eating all week. So I don't have to go back and make another decision on Tuesday for what we're going to eat for dinner tonight. I can say, well, I already made the decision on Sunday. On Sunday, what did I say I wanted to make? Now, there are going to come days where you're like, I really just don't feel like doing that. Try your hardest to stick with the plan you made on Sunday, right? Your not better self, but your smarter self, maybe the one that was a little less stressed on Sunday, made a good decision for you. So try to listen to her. She really did put in the effort on Sunday to make a plan for your week. So do your best to stick with whatever plan you made. There are going to be days where it's just not possible, and that is okay, but make that the exception, not the rule, okay? So try really hard to stick with your decisions that you've already made once. Another thing you can do to cut down on decision fatigue is to pick out your outfits for the week. Decide on Sunday what you're going to wear every day that week, and then it makes it easier when you get up in the morning. You go, okay, this was Monday's outfit, this was Tuesday's outfit. This works really well with one of my magic five of the checking your calendar, right? So you look to see what's on your calendar for the week and you say, okay, I'm gonna wear this, I'm gonna wear this, I'm gonna wear this. And that way you don't have to in the morning stand in your closet, go, what in the world am I gonna wear? Plus you also know if you've done the laundry that those things are going to be clean for you. And if you haven't, then you know that that's something you need to do that day, which also works with my checking the laundry to make sure I have everything I need for my plan for the rest of the week. Hopefully that helps and you can kind of see how that starts to work. Now, we have a saying in our house, and hopefully this comes across, but we say you can never do anything fun just once. And it was something that we coined when our daughter was little, and we would want to kind of make an exception or break the rule and let her stay up late one night or have dessert before dinner or, you know, just do those fun little things. And oftentimes we would do them, but we would know that you can't do something fun just once. It means they're going to ask again. Now, if you're willing to have the conversation and say, no, that was a one-time exception, sometimes you can have that conversation and it'll go over well. That doesn't always work. So this is kind of that make it be the exception, not the rule moment where you say to yourself, is this something fun I'm going to do once? Or if I do this, is it going to take a lot for me to get back to where I am, to this stasis, like to this place where I feel good? So just understand that sometimes fun things can be super fun and you just have to think like, this is a fun thing I'm doing one time, and have that parental conversation with yourself as the adult. I know sometimes it's hard, but then also understand like, sometimes it's worth it. Yeah, sometimes it's worth it to do that fun thing once, knowing it's going to be a little harder to pull back in the future. But also sometimes it's worth not doing that fun thing because it's going to derail you too much. So anyway, just know that that is a possibility. So let's talk about what this means when we come to decluttering our spaces. Knowing that our physical stuff makes it so much harder for our mental load, let's start by making a decision to say no new things this week that I don't absolutely need. Let's just start there, right? So if you're out this weekend and you are shopping and you see something cute, I know Easter's around the corner for those that celebrate, you're going to see a bunch of bunny stuff and pastel stuff and really cute stuff. But take a moment and say, is this something I need or is this something that I want? Do I have something else in my home that can suffice, that works right now for this? Likely the answer is yes. So try not to bring anything new into your home this week. Start there. Now, that might already be hard because you might have already done the Easter baskets and all of that kind of stuff where the Easter bunny is going to bring those baskets into your home, right? So understand That can be the fun thing once. Then try it next week. If this week is totally off and not going to work, let's start this next week then, right? It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It also can be like, okay, well, outside of Easter, I'm not bringing anything else into the home. Okay? So we can start there. We can make these moments of just like, And what happens with decision fatigue, and this is, you probably will notice this if you've ever tried to diet or do anything like that. If you say no and put an absolute down, it's so much easier to stick with your plan or stick with the idea that you had versus if you try to rationalize. If you say, well, I'm not doing sugar except for this, right? I'm not buying anything new that I want, except if it's really, really cute, except if it fits within my discretionary budget this week. See, those kinds of accepts, those rationalizations get you into a little bit of trouble. I am not saying you can never buy anything new. I'm not saying you can never eat sugar again. But if you have a goal, if you're struggling right now with decision fatigue and clutter in your life, we need to just take a step back, have some boundaries, and say for the next month, for the next 3 months, right? So if I'm wanting to go on right now, I don't know if I've talked about this too much on the podcast, but right now I'm trying to get in really good shape this year. I am now in my mid 40s and I'm not getting any younger, right? Like time is not going backwards for me. So I need to do things in order to move forward, right? With my goals of being healthy and feeling really in shape and being able to keep up with our daughter and do all the things I want to do in life. So I know that I need to stick with a pretty strict plan for like 3 months. I just know that's how my body works. It's how it worked when I was trying to lose weight for our wedding. It was how it worked after I tried to lose the baby weight. So I know that I'm about a 3 month, like I have to do something for 3 months before I'm even going to start to see results from all of the hard work and effort I have put in on my Peloton bike every day and drinking a gallon of water a day and not eating after 7 p.m. These are the things I'm doing right now. So I know it's going to take 3 months. I just don't even think about it. I'm like, okay, I started mid-February. I'm not even going to think about what results I'm hitting until February, March, April, May, right? So I still have, when this comes out, this is going to be end of March. So I still have 2 months until I even think like, how has it been going? What are my results? Because I know it takes a while. So if I start to do those measurements now and I start to like see how things are going on the scale, I will get completely discouraged because I've been putting in a lot of effort for about 6 weeks and not much is happening. But that's okay. Because I know that's how I am, right? That's how my body works. It's proven time and time again. That might be how you need to look at your home. That might be how you need to look at the clutter in your life. You might need to say, I'm going to declutter for 10 minutes a day. I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day tidying up a space or decluttering a drawer or a shelf or an area. And I'm not even going to think about the results for a solid month. But here's what you do. You take before pictures, right? Take before pictures of your house. Don't think about what it looks like in the process. And then in 1 month from today, take pictures again around your house and compare the two, right? We don't see the little incremental results, all these improvements that we make, all these teeny tiny improvements. We don't see them on a day-to-day basis. But if you take pictures from today and in 1 month, and you are making consistent progress, you will be amazed by the results. This is how we can start to curb this decision fatigue and the clutter in our homes. Understand that it doesn't happen overnight. Start to set up those boundaries. So decision fatigue comes when we have everything at our disposal, right? We have all the possibilities open to us. And nowadays we have more possibilities than ever. And that is why the mental load is so difficult to overcome. And that is why we find it so challenging to make progress and get rid of the clutter and not be so overwhelmed. So look at the habits that you can make. Maybe we are putting a no spending, right? Or no new things that aren't absolute needs into our house. Of course, we're going to buy the groceries. We're going to buy clothes if we get a hole in our socks, right? We're going to buy the things that we need in our lives, but also we're maybe not going to buy new home decor for a month. Let's just put that on the back burner, right? Maybe we don't buy new plastic things, right? Maybe we try to find a sustainable solution if we are needing to buy something. These are the things that we can start to put into practice, and they will start to make a difference over time. Okay, just to recap, we are going to set some habits in place. We're going to set up some things that can help us decide once and that can go through our entire week. So that might be meal planning. That might be choosing our outfits for the week. That might be setting up your doable dozen. The second thing is that we're going to make a one decision rule, right? So decide once and let that stand for a period of time. So maybe for 1 week you say, I'm not going to buy anything new that I don't absolutely need. Maybe you're going to say for 1 week, I'm not going to add anything new to the calendar because we're already pretty busy. Maybe you say, instead of eating in front of the TV this week, we're going to do that twice and then we're going to have game night twice this week. These can be anything you want, but it's just a one-time decision based on where you want to be and the person you want to be and the family and home life you want to have. You're going to make a one-time decision. Just start with one, please. Don't try to revamp your entire life this week. All right. And then the last thing you're going to do, so we've had step one, step two, step three is going to be spending time. If physical clutter is a problem for you, you're listening to this show, so I'm guessing it is. I want you to spend 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes. I know you have 10 minutes. You can do 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening. I know you have this time available to you. Just spend 10 minutes a day tidying or decluttering one area in your home. Please take your pictures beforehand. You will be amazed. You will not be amazed if you don't take those pictures. Trust me, you'll start to just get used to it and it won't feel as like transformational as if you took those pictures first, did this for a month, and then came back and took those pictures again. That, I promise, will make a difference. So spend 10 minutes a day. Those are your three things. That's it. That's the recap for the strategies. So let's look at some long-term solutions in maintaining a clutter-free home, because maintaining your clutter-free home and minimizing this decision fatigue, it's not a one-time effort, right? I'm still dealing with this. I still deal with this all the time because it is so easy for stuff to creep, for all of those things, all of those little things we have to do to all creep up, right? I want to go do all the things. I want to, you know, I want to have all the things, but I don't because I know that it's not good for the environment. It's not good for my mental health. It's not good for our house. I can't have all the things, right? I can only have what fits in our home. So it is okay to understand that you have to set limits on yourself. But please know it's not a one-time effort. It's about building sustainable habits, sustainable mindsets, understanding where your limitations are. And then also lean on your community, whether it's friends, family, online groups, sharing tips and support with others. Maybe you join your local Buy Nothing group and that really can help spark you in letting go of the things. I talk about our Buy Nothing group all the time. There might be different groups in your area. Take a look when I was talking with Christine, was that just last week, about that she has a different group in Boston. It's not a Buy Nothing group, but she does have a different group. So look up free groups in your area and see if there's ways you can just let go of your items through that group. You don't have to go anywhere. It's much easier. And it helps benefit people right in your local community, which can be really amazing. Know that it is not about perfection. It's really about progress. And every step that you make toward decluttering your space and simplifying your decision making is going to lead to significant improvements in your overall well-being and happiness. So I really am so excited for you on this journey and letting go of some of these decisions that I know we all feel like we have to keep all of these balls juggling in the air, but it's not all on you. We can make one-time decisions and it makes it easier to set guardrails around your life and the things you really want to be happening before we just kind of get derailed and thrown off by all the busyness around us. So with that, it's time to turn it to you. Do you struggle with decision fatigue? Did you find today's episode helpful? I would absolutely love to know. So send me a DM on Instagram or you can comment on this post. I'm at wannabeclutterfree on the social channels. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. Or if you have more questions and you'd like to get some feedback, come on over to the Wannabe Minimalist Family Group on Facebook and share there with the community. There will be a discussion thread for this episode. We'd love to chat with you in those comments, but please feel free to post in there anytime with whatever questions you have, and either myself or the amazing community we have there will reply to you. As always, thank you so much for joining me today. I am thrilled and so grateful that you are here. I do not take it lightly. I really hope you like what you hear. I hope it helps you. And if you did enjoy what you hear, please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you really don't want to hear those ads, I do have a supporter podcast feed available where you can listen to every episode ad-free. It's for less than the price of a coffee. It's only $5 a month. I will leave the link in the show notes so you can grab that. But if you want to, you can just go straight to wannabeclutterfree.com/supporter. And thank you again for joining me. I'll see you next week for a guest episode with Emily McDermott. You might recognize her name from the Chaos to Calm Summit that I hosted back in January. She was our first speaker at the conference and she totally rocked it. So we are chatting about the science behind decluttering and why it is so beneficial. So you definitely don't want to miss it. So hit that subscribe button and you'll be notified when it comes out. With that, I hope you have an amazing day. Until next week, keep decluttering, keep moving forward, choose one thing to decide on today, and know that I've got your back. I'm Deanna Yates, and you've been listening to Wannabe Clutter-Free. I'll see you next week. Cheers. Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.